Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself for a sensational spectacle like no other. Welcome to Sky Blue Stories podcast, the absolute pinnacle of Sydney FC coverage. Revered far and wide as the unchallenged authority on everything Sky Blue. We're not just a podcast, we're a mesmerizing symphony of insights, a symposium of Sydney FC knowledge that leaves all else in its wake. As the unrivaled Sydney FC podcast in the nation, we're about to whisk you away on an auditory adventure of epic proportions. In this episode, we'll delve into the mystique of Sydney FC's performance, unrivaled previews, and the most spine-tingling reviews imaginable. Brace yourself, dear listeners, for a ride into the stratosphere of football fandom. And I'd love to introduce our other co-hosts for this evening, for tonight's podcast, part of the SBS CU, that's the Sky Blue Stories Cinematic Universe. We've got Nick without the K, an absolute Twitter file, a smooth criminal, Nick Rojas. Welcome to the podcast. You're back again with a vengeance.
Yes, I am back again.
We have the super fan, the honorary Matilda, everyone's absolute favorite, Michelle Morris. Que pasa, Michelle?
What a wonderful intro. Thank you.
And Jules. So tonight on the podcast, sorry. The heels are alive there, Jules, aren't they? Everyone's favorite. Son, brother, father. Was last Sunday your first Father's Day, or is it?
It was, yeah.
It was. I hope you got spoiled.
Yep. I did. Very much so.
Well done on doing that, on getting one past the keeper, and enjoy Cairns this weekend. So, look, guys, another big episode of Sky Blue Stories. A lot to talk about, and we barely even kicked a ball for the start of the season, although our Australia Cup campaign is humming along quite nicely, which we'll delve into. But before we get to everyone's favourite around the grounds and a review of the Australia Cup game in very soggy conditions last week at Leichhardt Oval, Michelle, the fan representative group has begun. You've got a bit of inside knowledge, a little bit. Tell us about how it all works and how it went down the other day.
Yeah, so we had our first meeting like 2 weeks ago, I think, something like that. Time doesn't exist right now. But it was really good. We got to meet, I guess, the other people who are part of the group and kind of representing different parts of Sydney FC. And yeah, it was pretty positive. We kind of spoke on, I guess, what from the Women's World Cup can we take and how can we implement the positives of that into the league now. But yeah, I guess there's still a few things that maybe I'm probably not supposed to talk about as well. So not just yet. So I'll kind of leave it at that for now. But
non-disclosure agreement.
It seems like it'll be a very positive experience. So, yeah.
Quite a diverse group for those who are part of the fan representative group. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all on the Sydney FC website. Like, you can see who's involved. So, we've all got our photos and bios in there, and you'll see my head with the women's trophy, of course, because it's my picture that I use on every social media. So, yeah.
And what would you say would be like in the wake of the Women's World Cup, although, you know, the Aussie girls unfortunately bowed out, what would you say is the number one thing that what we've learned from that wonderful tournament, that great event that we all loved and shared with, what would you say is the biggest thing that we need to think of as a club to capitalize on that?
I think the biggest thing to think about, and this is just my perspective, is that there is a market out there for young girls, and we need to be able to reach that market to continue to keep them within the sport. So like that age group of like 14 to 22 year olds, like they were probably the most, like the biggest audience that was at the Women's World Cup. And we need to be able to jump on that and be like, okay, how can we get these girls now coming to the A-League Women's Games? How can we keep them within the sport of football itself. So,
because as a, somebody who's only ever coached in the women's sphere, the women's world, is and taught in primary schools, soccer, football, whatever you call it, round ball game is absolutely popular. It goes gangbusters amongst the younger kids, those primary school age. But for some reason, girls get to about either side of 15 into their mid to late teens. And I don't know, I don't know if it's the responsibilities of school and HSC or just maybe sometimes it's that image of being a soccer girl or a football girl and they're more concerned with other things. But for some reason, a lot of them drop out. And just the numbers in those older age groups, so you know, kind of all age and whatnot, it's just not there.
I think there's a lot of I think it's all of it, really. It's just, you know, you look a certain way, or maybe it's like even just your friends aren't playing anymore. And you know, I think one of the biggest things is like if you're better than a friend, then you might not want to play in a higher division and continue going into the sport because your mate's not in the team.
I'd say, boys, I know for me, over the years when I was younger, I had no problem joining teams where I didn't have a friend already in. Like, I didn't know anybody. I joined, you know, from Olympic, Belmore, Hercules, Earlwood. I joined teams that I didn't know. But I think with girls, it's more important for them to have those social connections, and if they don't have that, they're probably more than likely going to go, well, I don't want to play because X, Y, and friend is not playing anymore. So did you guys ever find that when you guys were playing when you were younger, I think it's more of a social thing for girls. Girls need to be happy to win, whereas boys need to, they're happy from winning.
Yeah, personally, I never had to experience that. I wasn't at an age playing with younger girls in my team, but we can hear from experiences from even our Matildas now. There were so many of the girls who had to play with the boys. There was no girls' teams available for them to be a part of. So even that's to take in because without that social interaction with other girls, that they would have failed to like continue on playing because they wanted to be with their friends. So I can definitely see where they were coming from and some other aspects of why they weren't able to make it, you know, maybe not progress as much as they'd like to in their football careers, but we'll definitely talk about it later on in this podcast, but there's definitely opportunities now for the girls to be able to, you know, fulfill their potential and kick on their careers.
Yeah, look, from my perspective, I think it's almost like the opposite. If anything, I've gained so many friends through playing football, people that I didn't know before. As a result, I've now become pretty much my family in a lot of respects. They're almost like my extended family. That's how close we are. So, you know, I know this it might reach, it might not reach like people that, or, you know, young females that are considering, or just anybody that's considering, obviously jumping into football, but they're a bit like, oh, I don't know anybody. I think that's, you know, the friends that you can make from this sport are just incredible. They're lifelong friendships, regardless if you win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, it's fingers crossed we can ride this wave because for me, I agree. Like, I think we're all on the same wave. Like, we want to ride the wave of this incredible tournament. It was just, it was spine tingling sometimes to be around at the stadiums, whether it was a Matildas game or not. So, yeah, it'd be so good to see more
once
of this.
Once in a lifetime opportunity to have a World Cup in your own country. Like, anyway, so hopefully the tide is turning with women's football in this country. The next little bit before we get to around the grounds, and don't mean to get all political with you guys, but this has potential to affect us and our home at Allianz, is the Minns government is looking to increase the Allianz Stadium concert cap. At the moment, it sits at 6. I know the residents in and around that Moore Park area are very fervent in that staying at 6. I reckon they'd prefer it to be 0 if they had their way, but there's a look to increase it up to 20. You know, in the sense that, you know, Sydney is a very cosmopolitan, 24/7 kind of global city, bringing more Beyoncés and Rihannas and the Weeknd. Apparently he's coming, more Paul McCartneys and all the kind of cool kids that you guys listen to. Now, you might think, okay, big deal, but those concerts, if it gets raised to 20 or thereabouts, all those concerts are going to be happening around the summertime. It just makes more sense, you know, better weather, better temps, etc., which clashes and coincides with our season. So there might, and that's the reason why our second, third, and fourth fixtures were all away games, because of Paul McCartney. He is a great Beatle, but I'm still not happy. So there's a, and I'll put it into the Spotify, our podcast little, you know, blurb that I type up each week, the link to go to where you can jump online and you can be able to air your thoughts and opinions as to why you believe it should stay as is, and how and why that's very important to you. So that Dave Warren sent us that late last, was it last week, I think, or maybe the week before. I jumped on it and did my little spiel. ChatGPT might have helped me out with some of the wording and whatnot. Work smarter, not harder, I guess. But look, it has, you know, Allianz is such a brilliant place to be able to kick a football around. So we don't want to go back to Cogra, do we?
Fuck no.
No.
As convenient as it would be place. For me.
Absolutely
but no.
Not.
And we certainly don't want to go even to the North Shore. So let's keep Allianz as our home. So
I think we should come to the North Shore. Come to the Northern Beaches specifically.
You got, have you got room in the background to host an A-League fixture, Michelle?
In the backyard? Yeah, absolutely.
A little fire
probably a bit tight.
Oh, if it can fit of all of your South American cousins there, it can certainly fit, you know, Christmas and whatnot. But look, it has potential to affect us. So I'll put the link in our social media manager, Jonathan Finger, who's off with a one-week calf. I'll encourage him to post it on our Twitters and our Xs and our Instagrams and whatnot that we've got, I think, and the Facebook as well. So because it could really affect ground availability. So with that being said, let's jump into Around the Grounds.
Grounds, 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 grounds.
Ante's been busy, Michelle. This is your opportunity. I'm really keen to pick your brain. He's been busy. He's been on the phones, calling up that, you know, Fabrizio bloke. He's been, you know, busy too, listening. Who is that guy? Is he real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What do you mean, is he real?
Is he a real person? I thought he was like A-League spy or something.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
AI created.
Well, A-League spy also has to be a real person to have an account.
Yeah, Russian bot. Anyway, he's been busy. We've got our A-League women's squad being bolstered and bolstered and bolstered. Some really exciting signings in the last, you know, several days, in the last week or so. Kicking off with Shay Connors, NPL goal scorer, 78 NPL goals in three seasons, a golden boot winner with Brisbane Roar a couple of seasons ago, two, three seasons ago. I'll first get your take on this, Michelle. Happy?
Yeah, great signing. I found out about this during the World Cup. And I was like, great, this is really great, because I was in Brisbane talking to people from Brisbane, and yeah, so they weren't exactly happy. They were happy for her because they were like, oh, she's going to a good club. No offense, Brisbane. But yeah, I think she'll be a really great player. She's still quite young as well, so I think she'll be really good for us.
Yeah, good blend of youth and experience with Shay. You know, she's got quite a good resume for still quite a relatively young age. Fellas, happy with that? Yes, she's no Maddie Haley, but or Remy Simpson, but
oh, she's got a good, got a fantastic goal to game ratio, doesn't she?
Mm.
Yeah, no, good track record in the NPL, and definitely a good career for Sydney.
Mm. And the other one that joined alongside with her was 17-year-old young Matilda Zara Kruger, an attacking midfielder. Admittedly, Michelle, I'm not totally across Zara Kruger. Hopefully you are.
I actually asked my friends as well, because I was like, what do we know of Zara Kruger? And from what I've heard, really good player and really good person, and puts in a lot of work. She used to have to travel when she was in Brisbane for NPL, would travel pretty much like upwards of like an hour and 20 minutes to drive to training 3 days a week. So that's, you know, there's I think that's really good, shows the kind of person, the kind of character that she is. So hopefully, yeah, hopefully we get to see her perform really well for us in Sky Blue.
And this next name, warts and all. Absolutely. This is a pretty big deal. English striker, former Julie Dolan medalist, league golden boot winner, none other than English person, English woman, Fiona Warts. Quite a big coup for Sydney Bowne to get her signature.
Huge. Look, she maybe didn't have the greatest season last season, but a really good signing nonetheless. So I think, yeah, she's going to do really well for us.
Fellas, happy?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, she's quality, proven track record. I mean, yeah, it's going to be pretty scary how attacking quality going forward this season.
With the likes of Princess, Courtney, Shay and Fiona now, how do we see that playing out? Four can't necessarily go into three. I don't know if Ante will change anything up front, play with two, play whatever, but let's just say he continues with the 4-3-3. Do we see, I think Princess and Courtney goes without saying, keep their two wing spots. And then fair to say probably Fiona starts and then Shay would be that person off the bench, you know, if something's needed, an equaliser.
I'd say probably opposite, going based off of like the last season and the NPL season. You'd probably start Shay Connors and then Fiona would come off the bench.
Is there a difference between those two strikers and how they play? One drops in a bit more, one plays off the shoulder or anything like that, or they're
I'm not too sure, to be honest. It's not really what I'm doing when I'm watching the games.
You're busy screaming and cheering and
exactly with my back towards the actual game. But I think, yeah, from what I've seen from Shay when she was playing at RPR, I think she's also had more minutes recently. She was playing in the NWSL during the World Cup break. So yeah, I just think you'd probably looking at starting Shay and then Fiona coming in off the bench. But I also think that the way Ante is that it depends on who's playing best and whoever has like a good run of form, and then that's who will start.
Okay. Seems like we've quite got some good forward stocks now. Our defense, you know, of course, you know, that hasn't changed too much with Kirsty, Charlotte, Nat. I'm going to say Tori will probably take that right back on a spot, you know, take Charlie's spot more than likely. There's still a bit of a question mark over the midfield, respectfully, to all those girls. I mean, big shoes to fill with Macca and Sarah going. Shay, Indiana, Taylor. Are we expecting anybody else to sign? You know, is there not room for a centre midfielder?
Lucy Johnson just signed as well.
Oh, of course, yep. Sorry, forgot about her and Margot and... Yeah.
Don't look too excited, Jules.
I'm thrilled. You know, she's a very hard trainer. She works very hard.
And we're 18. Where does she play? Remind me, Michelle.
Lucy Johnson.
Kane? Yeah.
What position she plays?
Yeah.
Oh. Mate, Google is free.
Oh, I'm still on the 56K.
You're the oracle. She's a footballer.
All right. I'll be on our Patreon. All right, moving on. We'll move on now. Speaking of some female football, this week, in the last couple of days, we've had the Sydney FC launch of the Female Football Pathway to help the young aspiring girls realise their dream of becoming the next Sam Kerr, Caitlin Ford, or even Courtney Vine. Never heard of her. Kind of bridging that link between the grassroots football and the professional game. So very exciting in the wake of the World Cup. You know, there's been talk about that Sydney FC Academy. I'm using the kind of inverted comma bunny ears things for those listening. So very exciting with T, the one and only Teresa Plyce as the ambassador. Exciting times ahead. I'm going to be devil's advocate. I'm going to be negative in a moment, but please, either of you, please, some positivity about it.
It's great, I think. It's a step forward in the right direction, I think, for Sydney FC. I think it's so easy to be critical of A-League clubs and what they do with their women's teams and how they spend their money, blah, blah, blah. But I think in the bigger picture, it's a very good thing of what this is. Do I think it's going to be perfect? No, of course not. Do I think it's expensive? Yeah, probably for what it is. But this is probably the start of what it is that they're hoping to do eventually. And we have to remember that the problem with the way that women's football is set up in this country in terms of like a professional aspect is that, well, one, it's not professional, and two, the girls will play NPL and then they will play A-League women's, which means that if any A-League club wants to have an NPL team, then you lose players within that as well. So I know when Western United was starting to go up and running, and with Calder University, I think it is, and they basically any Melbourne Victory players that were playing at that NPL club, they all had to leave because otherwise they would be signed for Western United, basically. And like, that's not a bad thing. It could just be that maybe they want to play at that club and whatnot. But this is why I think the more that we do to start moving into professionalism, the better, because we can't be doing this sort of like they play for two different teams. So like, why is it that half of our girls play at Sydney Olympic? Some of them play at Manly United or RPR or, you know, UNSW in League One. Like, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair on the girls. It's not fair on the fans. Because I don't really like, I like the NPL for what it is, but like, I don't have a team. Like, I'm not going to follow a team because Sydney FC is my team. So yeah, like I think having this pathway is all well and good, but we need to have a proper academy in place at some point.
Be interesting what happens with like, if that makes any change or influence on the New South Wales Institute, because that's always had a bit of monopoly on, you come to us or we select you and you play for us, and then you'll end up as a young Matilda or mini Matilda, etc. So it does open up the doors for more opportunities for girls to be the next Courtney Vine, Sam Kerr, Hayley Rasso and whatnot. So So they've got the female training program. There's North and South. North being over at Macquarie, over at Sky Park. South being Kareela, over there on the Princess Highway. Which I don't know, maybe I'm drawing a long bow, but I don't know if you guys know, but I've read that Sutherland, you know, FA, who plays in the League One or what was NPL 2, the women's down there aren't no longer going to be part of NPL. Totally remove themselves, much to a lot of parents and kids' disappointment. I don't know if that then means they're going to turn themselves into like the Sydney FC South Academy or, you know, football pathway, and use those facilities there down at Harry Denning. So the girls make that training squad or training program, and then they get into the development squad. It's the kind of, it's the development squad part that I've probably got the biggest question mark around. So they train with the Courtney Vines and the Princesses and whatnot. Do they play games?
No, I don't think so. I think
it's just training.
It seems like it's just training, and then you get selected based on like what I guess you're playing for your NPL club. So you're still part of an NPL club and then you train with Sydney FC as well as your NPL.
Yep.
Right.
That's so how I interpret it.
So I can...
But just an extra bit of development, I guess.
That's a lot of training.
Yeah. It is. But at the same time, it's like it's not too dissimilar to what people have been doing for years. Like kids around this age have been doing that 14, 16. You're playing at an absolute elite level of football in this country. You're probably going to a sports high school. You're probably playing for an NPL club. So, and the good thing about it is they, you know, and I'm speaking only from experience from that spirit, but they take load management really, really seriously. So if they're, you know, have players that have been playing in a school tournament, then they actually taper off their training for the next week or so. So they don't just say, oh, well, tough shit. You played for school, now you got to train and we're doing a fitness circuit or something like that. They actually look at that stuff. So I think the more touches on a football that you can have at this young age, and go for it.
But I think some of those touches should come from playing games.
Oh, for sure.
You know, having that experience. So, but it just make it interesting when you say a Manly United girl and you're playing in 14th NPL and you're a part of the female training program, what if the Knights clash? Who takes priority? Do I go to the Sydney FC training or do I go to Manly? Let's say, you know, Mary Lou chooses Sydney FC because, you know, I'm a part of this elite program and I want to become a Matilda kind of thing. Does Manly United then go, would they potentially go, well, we don't want you back next year. We won't retain you. So look, like you said earlier, Michelle, it's probably not perfect at the moment. There'll probably be some creases to iron out and a few things to suss out, but anyway. It can only be a positive thing. I'm just being a negative.
It's also great to see that like Teresa Palais will stay with the club and stick around. I did at the press conference, I did ask her, you know, when she saw Mariners rejoining, if she thought about going back to the Mariners, and she laughed and said, absolutely not. I am Sky Blue forever. Sky Blue through and through. She never thought about going back to the Mariners. So that's great to hear.
All right, the next bit of news, Adrian Segacic, as discussed on Sky Blue Stories this week, he's joined FC. Help me out with the pronunciation.
No. You just smashed Segacic for like the first time ever.
It's taken me like 2-3 years. FC Dordrecht, Dutch second division. Right. And on his debut game, fucking scores.
Decent too.
I'd take a tap in, but you know, outside the box, puts it down to the keeper's left. A very nice goal.
Yeah. Quality. Just glad he could get it. Yeah. So they've already recognized his talent and getting a goal on debut and get a team of the week nomination. It's so good. So he can only go up from here.
Yeah. Who knows? He might go. This might be a wonderful stepping stone to other things. I would not be surprised if he continues doing what he's doing, like what he did in his first game, if he doesn't come back to Sydney. I think he's got quite the trajectory, and we kind of saw his potential when he was playing with the young Australian boys, the Oli Roos. So very well done, Adrian Segacic. Speaking of young fellas, JK, Special K, he signed a professional contract. And to cap that off, they played a close behind closed doors game against Newcastle Jets where he scored the lone goal. The fellas getting up 1-0, getting more minutes in the legs ahead of next week's Western United game. Happy to see JK sign on. I'm just hoping I just hope he's just not twiddling his thumbs and, you know, getting Cole sitting on the bench this season.
Yeah, 100%. He's already made a bit of a statement already in this preseason, also in the Australia Cup. So I can only hope that Corrick is looking at the talent he's got in his hands and he's going to utilize him much better than he did last season. So, yeah, if he keeps impressing, he's definitely going to be in Corrick's thoughts.
Robbie Mack made it into the Slovakian National team for the Euro Quali follows next week. So the MAC is back in Slovakian colours. Exciting times ahead. But let's get jump to a bit more. The rumours. Sign some players. We typically have been, you know, late signings, late August. We found ourselves now into the first week of September. There are some rumours about from Atletico Mineiro, where Hulk is currently playing. Not that, not the MCU Hulk. Sit down, Nick. Don't get too excited. Striker Fabio Gomez apparently joining us on loan. The deal is all but agreed.
Here we go.
He's been on loan a lot, but look, he's under 30.
Some change for once.
Yes. Unless he's lied on his birth certificate, who knows.
But, I think he's scored under 30 goals every season he's played as well, so there's always that for a striker.
Yeah. So, look, he's tall. Part of me, without getting ahead of myself, I don't know if we even – might be a little bit left of center, but do we need a number nine? Like,
yeah, I think so.
I trust the youth, Michelle. You know, trust Paddy, trust JK, Mitch Klassen.
JK would be, look, for me, the way JK's come off the bench and played, I would be interested to see if he can carry that in and if he gets a, you know, gets a start at one point. Whether he can continue that through, but maybe it's too big of a roll of the dice in Corica's mind and that he needs a little bit more experience in that. But the only thing I'd say is that with this particular rumour, the Fabio Gomez rumour, I don't know, he just, I'm happy to be proven wrong, but his goal-to-game ratio is pretty average.
He's been on our loan a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. But look, something that we lacked last year was, you know, we've missed having a strong number nine. Alfie's scoring goals with Hibs. He's doing all right. They finally got a winner on the weekend, last few days or so. I think he's got three goals from four games. The last one was quite nice too. But we've missed having a strong number nine. So we'll wait and see what happens with this Fabio. And look, he might be a blessing in disguise. But there's also been a bit of talk about, because we've got a couple of spots to fill, a foreign centre-back, which I probably would say is a bit more needed than a striker up front by nose. But apparently we're getting by this time next week, we'll have it on authority that we'll have a signed centre-back next week. And there's a little bit of the, you know, Nick's favorite thing with Twitter going around with the certain, Gabriel Lucerda, apparently just on the old Twitter sphere, possibly on loan, a defender. So, which I think is near, because we don't know how Rodwell will, you know, hold up this season. Jake Gerber-Wright's been put into a bit of a makeshift center back and done gallantly. And I still think Gerd's a bit underdone.
Yeah, I think it's important for if Rodwell's going to be the starting centre back in our back line, definitely need someone right next to him to, because we can try out all these youngsters we want, but if there's no stability, then it's not going to be good for us when we need to defend. So I reckon whoever this foreign centre back is much needed.
Yeah, 100% agree. It's like Jack Rodwell, obviously, there's always question marks over whether he's going to be able to stay in the park long enough to actually have an impact and that. But, you know, he's hoping that he does, because he's looked quite good. He looked very assured. And, you know, whenever he has played for us, I don't think he's played poorly for us yet, in my opinion. So it's just about getting the poor bastard on the pitch more. That's all.
Well, you know, yeah, when he was injured last season, when he did come back towards the back third of or so, he was great. He was great. Mm. I was really happy with him. But look, yeah, we still a little bit of a question mark. It's just nice to have that little bit of insurance with an experienced centre back. But, you know, Gerd 1 and 2 have done a fantastic job. in the first couple of games. Well, good. Yeah, good. Double.
Should I bring my Wakehurst shirt to the next game?
What are they, orange and black?
Yeah. Should I bring it and then get Aaron Gerd to sign my Wakehurst shirt, take a photo?
He played for Wakehurst.
He played for Wakehurst, yeah. He's a Wakehurst boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Look how far he's come.
When he, on the big screen, when he was starting, it would say Aaron Gerd, Wakehurst FC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Only the greats come from Wakehurst, clearly.
Yeah, get it framed and, yeah, you know, that wonderful tree you have it up there at Northern Beaches, something in the water there. Anyway, so look, let's have a chat about last week's very wet, very soggy, but very well attended Australia Cup win 2-0 over the historic number one NPL club in all of Australia, all of history, RPL Leichhardt. 2-0 goals in the second half by Caceres, the Argentinian Messi, and boy, did he show that with his goal. And then Woody capped it off, a 2-0 win. Fellas, Michelle, impressions after the game, initial thoughts, what did you like, what did you see?
I can definitely see, I mean, in the first half at least, it was a bit of, I wouldn't say, I still think we dominated the 490, but it was a little bit cagey in the first half. I definitely feel like RPL were giving it a go despite the late turnaround in their last game, but in the end, we were pretty dominant for by the final whistle, and glad we get the win and advance to the next round.
Jules?
Yeah, look, I've actually been, first time I've been able to comment on our Oz Cup games because I think I missed out in the last pod, but well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm actually really impressed. I'm not saying I don't care about the Oz Cup, but, you know, to the league it's second, but I've actually thought we've played some decent football. Like we're actually spraying the ball around quite well. The brand of football that we're playing is quite nice to watch. I thought we're extremely good value for our win, both wins, obviously. I think we're pretty unlucky against Central Coast. We should have absolutely cruised in that game. But this game, I agree with Nick. I think, yes, a bit cagey, and, you know, RPA had a chance here, a chance there, half chance here, half chance there. But realistically, I think there was only going to be one winner. We just looked very, very comfortable in pretty much every facet of the game.
Now, I don't want to call Australia Cup pre-season because Slowey will have my head. but if I'll just call it games before the season, you can take it with a bit of a grain of salt. But that being said, we've looked pretty good, looked pretty solid. Yeah, a bit, you know, the touches have been clunky and some of the combinations and whatnot, but it's promising. It's really promising. You know, we've beaten last year's champions, last year's, you know, grand final winners. We beat, yes, it's tier two, you know, second division, if you want to call it that, beating Apia, the champions. They were well and through, well, they'd finished their season. So match fitness wise, they're at the peak of their powers. They finished first and dominated the NPL season. I thought they were pretty shit, to be honest. I never thought we'd look like conceding. I was really disappointed with RPR. I thought they would have given us a bit of a better go. I wasn't surprised that it went into halftime nil all. Like you said, a little bit cagey, kind of seeing which one, who would, you know, make really the first move, but we dominated. I didn't think we really got out of third gear. I didn't think we needed to. Some of the wet conditions might not have helped with the, you know, some of the slippery passes or whatnot, but the Co were in full song, which will be even brilliant come some beautiful sunshine Sunday week against Western United. So great game. Really happy with how the boys gone. We reached this point, didn't we, last campaign, last year, which was our undoing. Who was that against the NPL, Victorian NPL side?
Oakley
Cannons.
Yeah. So I know more than likely we'll jump on the pod next week. I think Jono will probably want us to review the next Australia Cup game. But with that being said, quick little thoughts looking ahead, each of you guys, with Western United as our next opponent in the quarterfinal?
Yeah, quarters, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. West United, another club trying to get their feet on the grass. I'm guessing with a few more signings for them as well, they'll try to have a better season than they did last year. So, considering the one that the title the previous year before, but yeah, it'll be an interesting game. Don't know. Honestly, I don't know what type of West United's team we're going to get for the next round.
I don't rate West United, to be honest. There's something about them that it just makes me be like, I don't know. You seem like a bit of a peanut club, but
I mean, that goes without saying for them and MacArthur, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I feel like our record against West United is actually quite good as well, overall. So I agree, Michelle. I'm not trying to sound, you know, cocky or whatever, but I don't really when we got out of all the teams that we could have got drawn against, I think West United, including the NPL teams, I was probably like, I would probably take West United, to be fair.
Yeah.
And to have them at home is just a bonus as well. So
yeah, out of all the clubs we could have gotten, especially A-League level, I'd definitely take West United out of...
Who are the A-League teams left? Us, them, City.
Westies.
Brisbane and Westies. Yeah.
Brizzy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was very happy that we avoided Brisbane and Wanderers at the moment. I think they're flying, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Adelaide.
5-1 or something.
Yeah.
Yes, thanks, stupid.
It's nice to let the little club win for once.
Well, you were hanging out with one of their stars, Nick, the other day, if you want to.
What's that?
You were hanging out with one of their stars the other day.
Yeah. Having some Burek and some.
Oh, God. I can't say hanging out. No, I wouldn't say
hanging out. Were you spotting him or showing them, you know, the correct, you know, this is how you do a squat, you know?
I think he needed me to tell him that.
Yeah, for the listeners and Kevin, you know, Nick was hanging out with Milos Ninkovic the other week at work, weren't you?
Nah, mate.
Hanging out.
Stitching up.
No, there's a huge stitch up. Thanks, Sean.
Charge him extra.
This is what you get for bullying Sean about WDYM.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
Oh, yeah. Far out.
Just speaking full sentences.
Times, buddy.
LOL. Come on, I'm an 80s kid. We had VHSs, man.
I had a VHS.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Not that old, Sean.
What's old? I had the phones where you had to like dial it.
Ring. A rotary phone?
Yeah. Yeah,
before my time.
I had one of those. A-Track. What about A-Track, Sean?
I had a Walkman.
I had a Walkman. See, we're the same. We're all good.
I had a Discman and someone had stole it from me. But anyway, I digress. Do you guys want to shout out some SFC votes? Rowdy will be listening very intently. A bit of a 3-2-1 of sorts, or a 2-2-2, or a what do you reckon? Who stood out for you?
Caceres, definitely. So give him a
should we mention his goal? We kind of like skipped over a bit, but it was
beautiful.
Yeah,
class.
Just typical. Dancing.
Standard, I'm going to say. That's what I'd use.
We want to see more of that.
Individual brilliance.
You want to see more of that. He's beautiful when he runs the ball and it just attacks the space in front of him. So we'd all encourage him to do more of that next game and with the season ahead. I think he at times last season he was a little bit unselfish and would lay the pass off, and sometimes it came off beautifully and Lolly knocked in a goal or two, whatever it might be. But, yeah, you know.
It'll be interesting because we got Burgess coming back as well. Don't forget so I'm guessing. Well, it depends how he wants to play. If maybe Caceres goes a little bit more forward than he did last year, and like you said, be a little bit more unselfish. So it depends how Corrigan wants to set up.
Because they're not too dissimilar, those two, in how they play. Not too dissimilar.
I'll say Keely Adamson really stood out for me as a Ryan Grant replacement. I think he had a really, really good game. Very entertaining to watch. I just thought that this is one player who I had no idea who he was, and then he's just had a. I thought he just had a really good game.
I think he's developing a little bit of a cult following. A lot of people loving him online. A lot of Sydney FC fans really loving what he's been doing the first two games. Really impressed. And when Ryan decides to hang up the boots, but he also got Zach as well. He's a right back. So, but you know, Keeley's been immense. Very energetic. Very keen to get forward in it. So I think we'll probably see Keeley next game as well. So 3-2-1s, 2-2-2s. Shall we go around?
Yep. I'm happy to kick it off. I'll go 3 for Adamson. Thought he was excellent. 2 for Girdwood Reich. I thought he was really good in the centre of the park. And 1 for Caceres, just for that absolute bomb.
Nick,
yeah.
Age before beauty.
I'll go with the opposite, actually. I'll go with Gerd 3, Adamson 2, Caceres 1.
I'll go last, Michelle.
All right. I'll go 3 for Caceres, 2 for Adamson, and 1 for Lolly, because I think he played well and got into good positions, but he needs to actually finish.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to say 2 for Bratz, 2 for Corey Holman. I think he's been great in the centre of the park. And then 2 for Keeley. All right. So, but join us next week. We'll chat more about the Western United game, but that's going to be beautiful on a Sunday afternoon up at Leichhardt at 3 o'clock. Kids, anything else before we wrap it up and say our goodbyes?
No. Forth to Sydney.
Mm. I've got an iPad, 10th gen. If anybody wants to buy it, please.
Please check Facebook Marketplace.
No, seriously, it's on Facebook Marketplace as we speak. So if anyone wants
accept PayID?
Is this still available? but look, yeah, if you want it, just let me know. I'll hook you up. That's a good price.
Good to know.
Thank you to the SBSCU Cinematic Universe, Nick, Michelle, and Jules for joining us. Jono will be back from his, I think it's actually a groin injury. I think he pulled it himself. But he'll be back. Daddy-O Jono will be back next week. I've been Sean. Thank you for listening, and we'll chat to you next time.